I'm moving among my people. So come, come and hear. To my spirit you will adhere. For the times of the earth are groaning, but the time of my kingdom has come. For I am moving among my people even still, and I will bring you through. For I have the victory, and I've given it to you. So come and drink of my vintage, and walk in my power continually. For I am coming soon, says the Lord, and my appearing will be seen by all. This is not the day to back off. It is the day to press until you're in. For my glory shall be seen in all the earth. For I'm pouring out my spirit upon me.
All right, it's good to be on. Praise God. You loving Jesus today? I'll tell you, I am so excited, and I do have a praise report. I like bragging on my son, and I get a lot of opportunities, so that's good. He makes me look good, and most people, he said, Daddy, just don't open your mouth, and they'll think you're smart. But just recently, he took a test that Microsoft gives to almost all the colleges. They're allowed to enter this, you know, test that they take on programming, and his college had a team, but he entered individually, and he ended up tying the highest score ever recorded in Microsoft history. Beat out MIT, beat out, you know, and he's just starting to separate himself, and we're so grateful to God, because some of you don't know his history, but the fact that he was born and the doctor said he would be a vegetable, because he didn't have oxygen to his brain for over 45 minutes. It's fun how God turns that around. Yes. Come on now. Amen. So, you know, every opportunity when I think about that, I know it's only God. It's only God. And I want you to know today, it's only God. Yes. You know, it's all about the presence of Jesus. That's all it is. You know, you can take good notes or you can get touched by God. Now you can do both, by the way. That's all right. There's nothing wrong. I am a note taker. Some people aren't. I am. It frustrates me if I hear a message and I can't take a note because there's nothing worth writing down. But still, you know, let God touch you. It's all about Jesus. God began to deal with me about this year, and he said it'd be a year of vindication. And he would say, he told me it'd be a year that God proves who's right. You know what I'm saying? Because how many of you understand, in vindication, there's always recovery. There's always restoration. And, you know, I just put up a quote that one of my friends said, and I loved it. He talks about that, you know, we're called to outlast our critics. And I love what he said. He said, your determination is stronger than their drama. Come on now. Hallelujah. So I just like that. And in vindication, you think about Noah. You know, Noah, they talk about the patience of Job, but his was a 9-month patience. And, you know, Scripture talks about it, so it's worth talking about. But when you think about the patience of Noah, I mean, God gives him, orders him to build a boat when it's never rained and to tell everyone the flood's coming. You know, it's kind of like Christians right now. We keep saying, Jesus is coming back. The wrath of God will be poured out. Heaven's real, hell's real. We're trying to warn people that they still have an opportunity to get on the boat. Come on now. Don't miss the boat. Come on, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't miss the, because judgment is coming. And the only way out of judgment is the boat. That's what Noah was preaching. As in the days of Noah, so in the days of Jesus and Jesus returning. It's going to be just like that. Come on. And you know, Noah was a crackpot until it rained. Everyone thought he was crazy. But you know, the ones that missed the boat, you know, they died knowing Noah was right. Come on now. Do you understand that? You know, Proverbs 6 talks about when you catch a thief, he has to repay sevenfold. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, most of my body, at least the ones that have been taught right, knows the devil is a thief. That he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And most of them have even caught him, but they've never gotten repaid. Because they've never pressed charges. See, it's not enough to catch a thief unless you're willing to press charges. Some of you need to begin to see what was stolen. Because God wants to make up for all the wasted years. He wants to make up for all the things that were stolen. Come on, he actually wants to make things right. You know, because, you know, life is not fair, but God is. God is not unjust. Sometimes life is unjust, but God's not unjust. So God literally can override what's happened in life to make things to where they need to be, but you have to grab hold of him in order for that to take place. Come on, somebody. You're going to get something today, whether you like it or not. And if you don't get anything, it won't be my fault. So let's go to Jeremiah 29. What I found out is, how many of you understand, you can't feed people that are already fed up. You can only feed hungry people. There are people that don't want to hear it, so they won't. Yeah. You know, some people, you know, they have selective hearing. And then usually it's the thing that they don't want to hear is the thing they need to hear the most.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and then they're miserable because they're rejecting, because everywhere they go, they have to use effort not to hear. Because God keeps speaking it. Uh-huh. Come on. I mean, people go leave one church and get another church. Guess what? It comes back up. Yeah. You know? Today I want to talk about, and there's a shift coming all week long. We'll eventually get into what the shift is taking place in the body of Christ. But I want to talk about taking charge of your future. Because honestly, there are things we can do that will secure our future. There are things we can do to mess up our future. And let me tell you right now, where you are today was based on some of the things you did yesterday. And where you're going to be in the future will be determined many times with what you do with what you hear today, because God's going to hold you accountable. Amen. But Jeremiah 29:11, I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, "For I know the plans I have for you." I love that. You know, I want you to understand, whatever you're facing, God has a plan. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knew what would take place before it took place. He's always had a plan. And he has plans for you. That means it's individual. You know, and let's understand something. God's plans are already blessed. You never have to ask God to bless his plan. The most reason why most people are begging God in prayer is they don't know if it's his plan. If they knew it was his plan, they'd already be blessed. Come on.
Right.
He didn't say, "I know the plans you have for you." He said, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope, not for calamity. Come on. And he tells you that in order to find his plan, you don't seek the plan. That's where people miss it. They seek the plan instead of seek God. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, then you'll find the plan. Come on, if you seek me, then you'll find the plan. Too many times what we're doing is we're seeking the hand of God, not the face of God. I prophesied years ago, and I've watched it come to pass, that there would be a generation who loved what God did but didn't love God. And when they went through a period where God didn't do what they thought he should do, when they thought he should do it, they'd leave him. And I'm grateful for all the benefits. But you know, I don't worship God for his benefits. I don't love God for his benefits. I do love what he does because I love him. You know, be honest with you, I want to know the healer, not just know about healing. I want to know the provider, not just know about provision. And if you can trust God, if you can get to know him, everything changes. When you seek him, when you search for him, He said, I will be found of you. And he said, I will restore everything. Everything's found in Christ. Everything is. Without him, nothing works. Even if you gain the whole world, it still doesn't work because you lose your soul. Come on. See, God wants you to live Job 8:7. Though the beginning was insignificant, your end will greatly increase. Many of us, you know, we've gone through some periods, but God wants our end to be better than our beginning. Yes. Come on now. And, you know, what I found out, the best books I ever read have a happy ending. Come on now. And the best book in the world has the happiest ending. I read the last chapter. We win. Come on now. That's why I love reading. I can't wait to get to the end. But I read all between at the end. Hey, we win again. We win again. I like that. See, how many of you understand most problems occur when you don't consider your future? Lamentations 1, 8, and 9 talks about how Jerusalem fell into moral decay. They said they had unclean skirts because they did. It said because she did not consider her future. You know, right now this nation's in a mess because we're not considering what the policies going on right now are going to do to the nation. When you don't consider your future, you messed up the present. Period. When you spend other people's money. That's a moral thing. I'm not going to get political. I will get moral on you. Come on now. You know, it's not right for us to ransom our kids' inheritance. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what I found out is when we don't consider, how many people do you know, if they would consider what they would have done, they never would have done it. We've all been there. But that's why the Holy Ghost, how many people understand? He wants to show you previews of things to come. Yes, he wants to disclose what the Father has and give it to you. Yes. See, God wants to show you your preferable future. Yes. Then he wants to introduce you to you. Yes. Come on, because you don't know you. He knows you. Yes. Come on now. He has to introduce you to you. You're a new creation now, but too many times we're living in old creation realities instead of new creation realities. So God has to introduce you to the new you. Come on now. Amen. You can't be you until you get to know him. And then when you get to know him, you get to know you. Does this make sense? See, the God says there's things I've freely given you. You don't have to beg God. They're already yours. You don't have to beg God to heal you because 2,000 years ago he did. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. He already paid for the forgiveness. You just have to access it by faith. You still have to ask. You know, there are some people that go too far on this stuff. But bottom line, it's already yours. It's already available. God's not doing, he's already rested from his work. He's praying about ours.
Yes.
He's praying we would actually believe what he did.
Yes.
You know, we're begging God to do it. He's trying to convince us he already did. Come on now. You know, but things you have control over that influence your future, one of the greatest things you have control over is your decisions. You know, the greatest power that God gave humanity was a free will. And then, you know, what I found out is that free will can either mess you up or make you great. God doesn't force himself on us. You know, he desires you to desire him. He loves you. He wants you to love him. But he doesn't force his love on you. He doesn't force you to come to him. He said, whosoever will may come. You know, this is not where we have to force the nation to become Christian. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want a forced relationship. He said, you're free to join me. You're free to leave. You can choose me to be Lord. You can choose me not to be Lord. Choice is yours. But don't blame me if you experience the consequences without me. Don't blame me when you kick me out of schools and shootings take place. Don't blame me when Social Security is kind of going bankrupt. When you killed all the babies who would be paying into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't chat me down. See, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, God sets before us blessing and curse, life and death. And he knows how dumb we are because most of our life we'll be trying to figure out what's the right answer. Life and death, that's a hard one. Blessing and cursing. Which one do I choose? Which one do I choose? God said, choose life. Let me make this easy. Choose life. See, everything's a choice. You know, how many of you understand? You choose your friends. Don't tell me friends don't matter. They do. Don't tell me associations don't matter. They do. If you're a parent, you can tell where your kids are at by their friends. Period. Bad company corrupts good morals. Every time, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Every time you walk with wise men, you're wise. You walk with fools, you suffer harm. Come on now. Everything is reflected by some certain choices you make. You know, who you marry is a huge choice. That's why you should pray. The big decisions, you better give to God. You know, I always tell people, marriage normally is a life sentence. You just choose what type of life. When you first get married, maybe puppy love. You don't work at it, it's going to be dog eat dog before long. So, hey, you know, it is true. But see, what I found out is God says, hey, I, you choose your attitudes. And how many of you understand, it's really easy to make the right choice when you're in agreement. I tell people, most of my life, I have no problem with God because we agree. But there are moments when me and God do not agree, there's conflict. It's easy to say I'm submitted when you're in agreement. It's real easy when you're married and I submit to my husband until he says something you don't like. Come on. You know, that makes it harder. Because, basically, submission is great when you're in agreement. But submission is not really submission until you disagree. Then you have to choose. How many of you understand, most of the time, you probably agree with God? But I've had moments. How many of you have had your moments where it seemed like God did not know best? Some of you, it may be in tithing. Oh, no. You know, because you don't want to trust God with your finances. You don't believe what he said. Because honestly, God doesn't need your money. He needs your trust. It's a trust fund. He said, if you trust me, I'll fund it. But it's a test. I know years ago when I was, you know, God spoke to me and I was in prayer. I was trying to mind my own business in prayer. Hearing from God until he said something I didn't like. I was at the University of Richmond. He said, I want you to go to Oral Roberts University. I didn't even know who Oral Roberts was. I thought Oral Roberts was Brigham Young. Honestly, I thought he was a Mormon. I said, Lord, no. I'm calling you to ministry. I want you to go. And I said, no, you don't. Then I did some research, and he was on. There were no computers back. I guess there were huge ones, but, you know, back in those days, the old days. But I did turn on a TV show, and I found out he was saved, so I was happy. You know, the problem is when I called up ORU, because I was going to obey him until I called up Oral Roberts University, and they basically said, yeah, you got the grades, you can come. He said, we have one little problem, though. He said, you're a junior, and all your credit hours are good, but they're not going to count towards your degree, so it's still going to take you three years to get your bachelor's. It was going to take me a year and a half to graduate the University of Richmond where I was at. And I could have turned around and gotten my master's in the same time from Oral Roberts University that I could have gotten my undergraduate degree. So my lightning quick brain says, God, let's reason together. Because obviously you know everything but this. Let me explain so you can change your mind. How many of you have ever been there? The Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. Well, you know, most of the time your understanding, God's understanding, is pretty much pretty clear. If you've been walking with God, most of the time you're going to be in agreement. What I found out about God is he has a lot of common sense too. He does. Most things God says are very practical, but they're moments. They're moments. He set you up with moments. And I remember I called up and I told God, I said, God, I will go to ORU after I graduate the University of Richmond. Because it made sense. The Lord said, I want you to go to Oral Roberts University now. I said, come, let's reason together. And I just decided I was going to do my thing. So you can do it your way and have Burger King. Or you can do it Yahweh, have King of Kings. But, you know, I went and saw a prophet. That week I came up to, and the prophet looked at me. I knocked on the door. I love prophets unless I'm out of the will of God. This guy doesn't even say hi. He looks at me and said, God told you to change schools, didn't he? First thing out of his mouth. I felt like saying, mind your business. I said, yeah. He said, are you going to do it? I said, after I graduate. He said, you go back to the other school, something bad's going to happen to you. And it did. I went back to the University of Richmond, was in a pickup basketball game. We were five white kids who couldn't jump, playing against five black kids who couldn't shoot. It looked like a half-court game because they kept missing, getting the rebound. Because we couldn't jump. But a miracle happened. We got a rebound, and I'm going down the court on a fast break, and the coach thought it was a half-court game, so he's pulling out a volleyball pole. He's just rolling it out to set it up. I never saw the pole coming. Have you ever seen Knights on Shining Armor? Been there. Know what it's like to get stuck. Can't tell you exactly how it felt, because then I woke up 10 days later in ICU. I had a nurse crying saying, you're going to die. I had a priest sprinkle me with water and speak something over me in Latin. I knew that wasn't good. I was going to give him a super soaker later so he could do it long distance. I kept thinking, who cares if I die dry or die wet? I couldn't say anything verbally, because I had all these tubes in me, but underneath my breath, I thought, maybe I should repent. Kind of like Jonah, you know, you're in the belly of, it took him three, I mean, I think about Jonah, he's a man, you know he's a man, because 3 days and three nights he's deciding whether he should repent. I mean, come on now. How low do you have to go before you think this is bad? I'm sitting there, I've been already told I'm going to die. I knew ICU probably wasn't a good thing. And finally, I couldn't speak, but I could speak. Let me understand, sometimes you even when you can't speak verbally, you can still speak. That's why I've led people in prayer and said, if you agree with this, because they couldn't speak, will you just grab my hand? And I still believe that they responded. And underneath my breath, I basically said, I said, Lord, I'm willing to go to ORU. The moment I said that, all the monitors, the internal bleeding stopped, all the monitors came normal. I walked out 3 days later, about 60 pounds lighter. In fact, I think I'm going to go on TV and offer the poll. New diet. Three payments of $29.95. How to lose your gut. But, you know, I get out of there, and then I call ORU, and they say, you can't come. We don't have room. And I told him, I said, I don't really care. I'm coming. I said, they said, we don't have room at the university. I said, I have a strong gut level feeling. I need to be there. I made my decision. I would camp on the grounds there. I knew what it's like to be out of the will of God. I knew what it was like to be in the will of God. So because they couldn't get rid of me, they opened up a closet. So I was a closet Christian for 2 weeks. I lived in a closet. They took out all the cleaning supplies, put Woody in. And 2 weeks later, someone got out, you know, left school. So I got my own room. I came out of the closet. But while I was there, I started realizing how God set things up. I would never have met my wife if I'd gone when I wanted to. I would never met Billy Joe Daugherty, who was a great friend of mine, now in heaven. And they started Victory Christians there. I would never have met Miles Monroe. I would never met Larry Stockstill. There were so many people that God was trying to unite me with that I would have missed the whole plan of God. So many times, God is trying to lead you in a way that doesn't make sense. Come on now. You know, he's trying to lead you instead. You know, he leads you through the wilderness into the Red Sea. Makes no sense, but it's a setup. God's setting you up for success if you'll obey him. See, there's a principle in Scripture. The path determines the destination. I don't care who you are. You take certain roads, you end up certain places. Works for everyone. Some people say, well, you're really prophetic. And I am, but I'm not that prophetic because I know certain, I can just observe, just like the guy in Proverbs 7, watching the naive young man meeting the wife that basically was going to commit adultery. And he said, the guy's watching. He said, this young guy doesn't even know it's going to cost him his life. You know, he wasn't saying, he didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to ruin my life today. I get lost all the time. Thank God for GPSs. Without GPS, I get nowhere. I love GPS because it's a woman who corrects my driving, so I still think I'm at home. But recalculating. Anyway. But, you know, what I found out is that no one intentionally gets lost. I mean, my son's favorite thing is that every time I said we're going to take a shortcut, he said we're going to go sightseeing, aren't we, Dad? I've been at a lot of places. I've never intended to be lost. It's just part of my adventurous spirit. But how many people understand you can control your decisions? And if you made bad ones, you can make right ones today. greatest decision you have is to follow God. Second greatest decision is to pursue Him once you found Him. Press into Him. Never stop. Never not. Never stop. Never stop. When think times are good, press into Him. When times are bad, press into Him. He's always the answer. But you also have control over your hearing. How many of you understand what you hear affects your life? More than anything you know, I guarantee you, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, but fear comes by hearing too. If you spend most of your time listening to news, it's bad news. It's not the news, it's bad news. And be honest with you, many of the news reports are not accurate. If you want to know what's going around the world, just ask me. I almost say that jokingly. But we have ministries that we are in contact with, that we support heavily in the Ukraine. I can tell you what's happened in Ukraine. We have a church that, you know, we support, that help, you know, we've helped the person plant it in Jerusalem. I can tell you what's happened in Jerusalem. I can tell you what the news people aren't telling you. You know, it's not even news, it's a slant. You know, people lying on purpose to try to get us to believe something. Come on. But the bottom line is, the thing is, I don't care even if I agree with people. There's some people I can't listen to on the radio who I agree with. But if you listen to them, the sky's falling. And we already won. And when I still think there's one last move of God left in this nation. I still believe the greatest time of the church is now. It's already started. Come on. It's already started. So I'm not going to listen to the naysayers. I'm not going to listen to people like that. Jesus said in this way, in Mark 4:24, he said, take heed what you listen to. Because he says, with the measure you measure it, it's going to be measured back to you. And the next verse tells you something that's so strong. He said in that context, to him that has, more will be given. To him that has not, even what he has will be taken away. What he is basically saying is, if you listen to the wrong voices, you're going to get robbed. You're going to lose what you have because you listen to the wrong voice. You know, don't spend time listening to gossips. Don't get around bitter people. If you have to, if they're relatives, take a bath every time you leave them. Come on. How many people understand when Adam and Eve sinned, they went into hiding. God walks through the garden looking for Adam. Said, where are you, Adam? He knew where Adam was. He's trying to get Adam to locate Adam. Now, understand, anytime God asks you a question, it's not because he wants your answer. He asks you a question because he wants you to hear your answer. Come on now. You know? So he said, where are you, Adam? He said, well, I heard you were coming. I was naked, so I hid. And what did God say? Who told you? Who told you you were naked? Genesis 3:10. Who you been listening to? He was pinpointing the problem. You've been listening to the wrong voice. It's got you hiding from me. Come on now. When you listen to the wrong voice, you see God is your enemy. So you have charge of what you listen to. You also have charge of your faith. Understand that. Have the faith of God. Faith comes by hearing. You know, faith is seeing, saying, and sowing. You see it, you start speaking it, and you sow whatever seed you have so it can be manifest. And if you don't mix what God says with faith, it does you no good at all. Faith is the victory. Everything according to the scriptures, according to your faith, so be it. Without faith, you're a victim. With faith, you're a victor. People that always talk about being victim, I know they have no faith. Or their faith is not activated. Tired of a victim mentality in this nation. Tired of it. You know, nothing ever great was great by doubters and unbelievers. Come on. Does this make sense? You have choice on what you do with the faith. You have a choice on what you believe. I choose to believe God. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. So you get to the place where you decide, I'm going to live by faith. I am going to live. Whatever God says, that's it. That's it. That's it. It's settled in me. No matter how I feel, it's settled in me. Then you have a choice on your prayers. The reason why I put faith first is religious people have faith in prayer. Believers pray in faith. Whatsoever things you pray when you believe, whatever so things you desire when you pray, ask, you shall receive. Whatever things you desire, you have not because you ask not. If you abide in him, his words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. You know, most failure is a prayer failure. Jesus said, pray my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because it won't be done on earth unless someone prays. Come on. Does this make sense? Let me say something about prayer too. The epitome of pride is prayerlessness. It says, I can do it without you, God. And what I found out many times in prayer is we ask God for what we need, but not necessarily what we want. We don't want to bother God. So, you know, we really want one thing, but we ask him for something else. And, you know, the sad thing is if you ask him for something you really don't want, he'll still give it to you. I said, God, how come your people are so ungrateful? He said, you know one of the reasons they're so ungrateful is they're asking for things they don't really want. So when they get it, they're not really thrilled with it. Let me show you how this works. I mean, you know, I just recently bought a new car. I knew what my budget said. It's something I'd do on the road, and you know, I actually have it outside, but you know, my budget basically says small, cheapo car, put a ton of miles on. But it really wasn't what I wanted. But that's what my budget said. So being the man of God I was, I said, God, this would be okay. And I heard the Lord say, what do you really want? I said, I really want a sunroof. I always want sunroofs. I'm one of those guys that even in the wintertime, I'll have the heat. It'd be 20 below zero. And I'll have the heat blasting in the car and have the sunroof open. I just feel closed in without the sunroof. I love sunroofs. And it's a weird thing, but that's what I like. I said, Lord, I want a sunroof, and it'd be nicer if we had a little bit larger car, so if anything ever happened to our family car, at least we could fit people in. But, you know, I went there and I looked at the prices and I thought, no way. And I was just about ready to settle for something. But I did pray. I said, God, you know, if you want to change this thing, you know what my budget is. And I'm not going beyond it. And I don't get into debt on anything. So I went there and the guy comes up to me. He said, well, I can give you this one. And he said, we have this car over here. And he said, I actually can give it to you for the same price as this one. It had the sunroof, it was a larger car, he said, this is a special deal that we have, we know you're in ministry, and it's actually way below their cost. And he said, which one do you want? Oh, let me see. Be humble, be blessed. Be humble, be blessed. Come on now. Come on, you know, false humility, yeah! Come on. But you know, I almost had trouble with it. That's sad. You know, ask God for what you want. Be thankful for what he provides. But why not ask him? You know, if you can't afford it, he can.
That's right.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, his streets are gold, man. He can send some pavement. Hopefully it won't land on you, but close enough so you can cash it in. But see, you know, we ought to pray fervently. It's like the story I've told before about the little Catholic boy. I was told this by a Catholic priest, so, you know. But he said, this little Catholic boy, you know, he was with his parents, and he said, I want a new bicycle. And his parents said, well, we can't afford one. He said, but I want a new bicycle. And he said, why don't you pray? So he prayed for a new bicycle. Next morning, he looks out the window, and there's no new bike, and he's a little disappointed. We've all been there. We were just sure it was just going to show up quickly. So he prayed for a couple of days. He's really frustrated. He tells his parents, I still want a new bicycle. And they say, well, we're going to church tonight. They live right next to the Catholic church. They went to church tonight, and they were doing their little things in front of the statues. I'm not going to get into that. But he looked, and he saw a little statue of Mary, a little tiny one. He got this idea. So he ran, took the statue of Mary, put underneath his sweatshirt he had on. He ran home. He runs up the stairs and he puts the statue of Mary down on the ground and he said, Jesus, you ever want to see your mama again? Give me the bike. Well, you know, at least that was fervent. Come on now. At least you knew he meant business. Come on now. So, hey. After we go through that, you know, the next step is the meditation step. You know, I don't believe most Christians meditate. Meditation is not going, Well, actually, it could be, but not Christian meditation. But you should meditate on the Word day and night. This book of law shall not meditate, depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous, have good success. If you meditate on the truth, there's something about meditation that develops a picture on the inside. That's what meditation is. You keep chewing on it. Keep chewing. How many of you have ever had a phrase you just keep chewing on? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we leave things too soon. Because we've taken the notes, we think we got it. It's not. We don't really got it until the picture's totally fully formed on the inside of us. How do you know if you really got it? You can't be talked out of it. When the pressure comes on, it's still the right stuff comes out because it's so much a part of you. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she was meditating for a long time. If I just touch the hem of his garment. And you understand something, that had never occurred before. There's no place in Scripture where anyone had touched Jesus and been healed before her. That wasn't the way he did it. You understand, well, everything she did was illegal.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you think about this lady. You think about her, and she suffered. She lost all her money, became broke at the hands of many physicians, was suffered, got no better, lost all her income. Back in those days, she probably was a married woman before the issue of blood. But it was acceptable in those days. That was an acceptable reason to divorce. Because her husband couldn't touch her anyway. So chances are, she lost whatever relationship she had. Everywhere she went, she said that had to say unclean. If she sat in a chair, no one else could sit in it. When she came out in public, she had to scream, unclean, 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 unclean. Let everyone know. What an existence. And she kept saying in this picture, if I just touch it, everything would be made right. If I can just get to this point of contact. She meditated until the picture became full, and then she acted on it. So what I found out, if you don't meditate, you don't act. A lot of times what God will do is he'll start changing the picture on the inside until you have the courage to act on it. Until you have the courage. One of the reasons you know when the meditation is full is you're finally ready to act on it. You're finally ready to step out on it. And there are times there's a confession unto faith, there's a confession of faith. The confession unto faith is, I know that God's saying this, I'm just not there yet. So you keep saying until you believe it. You know, till the picture is fully formed, till the picture is fully formed, till the picture is fully formed. Then one day it's fully formed and you know. You don't no longer think about it. You know it. You know, if I just get there. Does this make sense? And you see, meditation, and then the next thing you have a choice on is your actions. And guess what? You know, faith without works is dead. If your faith doesn't move you, it ain't going to move anything else. If your faith doesn't move your mouth, it will never move your mountain. You know, there are times you just have to do something. You just have to do something. You have to do something. You know, you have to take the step you can take. Come on now. In a natural, it does not make it work, but because it's a supernatural thing, it does. A lot of people touched Jesus. Only one touched them in faith. There are probably some sick people that brushed up against them and stayed sick. Because according to your faith, so be it. There are people here, you know, everyone has the same opportunity. God gives you the same package. He offers the same package to everyone. Some believe it, some don't. Some believe for a season and they drop off. But there are those that meditate and they just want to be doers. They want to be doers of the word. They got to do something with their faith. Does this make sense? So you have choice over your prayers. You have choice over your faith. You have choice over what you hear. You have a choice over your actions. You have a choice over your giving. See, God, I found out something. Don't ever get upset if the pastor talks about money, because one-third of all Jesus' sermons had to do with money. You can study. He talked more about money than he did heaven and hell. One-third. Why? Because where the people's treasure is, there's their heart. You know, every time you mention need, God mentions seed. Every time you mention what you don't have, God mentions what do you have. Why? Because he wants to get it to you. You know, but if he knows, if you're holding tight, until you release what's in your hand, he can't release what's in his. So I said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, get it running. You don't even get back what you gave. You get back running over what you gave. But see, as long as the earth remains, there's only one thing that works, seed time and harvest. People say, good times, bad times. The answer is still the same. It's Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, the answer is still the same. See, whatever leaves your hand and doesn't leave your life, it enters into your future. You're always sowing into your future. Always are. And God gives seed to the sower. Didn't say give seed to everybody. You know, I believe one of the reasons my son is blessed, is going to be even more blessed, is he has a tremendous revelation of giving. And because of that, God can trust huge amounts of money to him. You know, he's doing everything he can to support orphanages around the world now. And every year it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and more orphanages are coming up. And he's 20 years old. You know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He said, I'll bless you to make you a blessing. Yes. So there has to be a release. I remember years ago when we looked at college costs. And where the school my son goes to right now, the expenses, including books and everything, is around $75,000 a year. That's not our budget. But you know, everything's taken care of, because years ago we knew we were going to enter into something. We didn't know he would be going where he's going. We started sowing seeds every month to Old Roberts University. So kids could go. And we weren't giving tons of money, but we're giving what we could. And I put on a seed, Joey's education. We were sowing seed before we even had a kid. And you know what? I believe now that he has his education paid for, it's because of that. We sowed the seed and the harvest came. Many of you right now, God says, sow some seeds for your future harvest. Look for someone to bless. Look for someone to bless. Look, and if you're bad off, look for someone worse off than you. And bless them. And see, your giving will always do that. And then when you deal with your giving, you have to again deal with your thinking, because as a man thinks within himself, so is he. And you choose your thoughts. How many of you understand that? You can think on things that are good, pure, lovely, of a good report. You don't have to learn to be disciplined and cast down every thought that's contrary. You don't have to you basically have to cast down thoughts that people spoke over you when you were growing up. You'll never amount, you're a loser, you're this and that. That's a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. Come on, cast down every thought that's contrary to the will of God. You know, does this make sense? From the mindset. See, you if you're stuck in your thinking, you get old. An old mind equals an old spirit. And some cranky old person. That's why God says, renew your mind. You know, your body may get a little bit older, but your mind doesn't have to. Amen. Renew your minds. Keep growing. Keep thinking. Yes. Keep dreaming. Have some fun. Yes. I love my stepmom because she doesn't know she's old. She 84 years old and leads an aerobics class. This year, to celebrate her 84th birthday, she jumped out of an airplane again. You know, she wasn't like even President Bush Sr. because he did that when he was young. She waited until she was 81 to do it the first time. It was on her list. She said, why don't you come jump with me? I said, not on my list. I got other things on my list that are just as crazy probably. Why not? If you're breathing, do something. Come on now, don't just say, and you know, you're thinking, it determines your age on the inside. And of course you're speaking. Honestly, you choose your words, and your words choose the direction of your life. Power of life and death is in the tongue. And the Bible says in James 3 that your tongue is a rudder. What does that mean? Don't ever speak where you don't want to end up. Because honestly, what I found out, what you continually speak is where you end up. Yes. People that continually said they were going to die in the wilderness, they got just what they said. Now, they didn't just say it once. It wasn't like they were frustrated and they said something once. They kept saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And God kept trying to change their minds. But one day, God agreed with them. Says, you've spoken in my ear, so be it. There are certain things we're speaking we don't want God to agree with. Don't speak lack unless you want to end up there. Don't speak always about sickness and disease unless you always want to live with sickness and disease. I'm not saying deny certain situations. I'm just saying deny their ability to cling to you. You're a Teflon Christian. A curse causeless doesn't stick. It doesn't mean it doesn't hit you. Doesn't mean it may not be on you for a little bit until it drops off. But it means that's not the final destination unless you choose it to be. Come on. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be stopped. We just recently had a church, and, you know, I don't rejoice over this. I never rejoice when an enemy falls. Never. But there are people that did me lots of harm and came against me, and they were very, it was a place I was very strongly associated with, you know, in a certain area. And then, you know, they went in a direction I knew wasn't God. Well, because I didn't agree with where they went. They unleashed all their influence against me. And, you know, they tried to destroy my influence in that region of the country. But it didn't. See, because you can outlast your critics. And I was trying to convince them the whole time. But you know, this year, what used to be a mega, mega situation just totally collapsed. And you know, I told my wife, I said, the sad thing is I knew it from the day they began to attack me. I said, their days are numbered unless they change. And every time I'd come in the state, I'd reach out to them. Every single time I came into that particular state, I would still reach out. You know, I just decided, God, I don't really care. I'm going to do everything I can do to try to see this thing not get destroyed. But if they're going to self-destruct if they keep doing this. How many of you understand that, you know, people's words will come back on them? See, it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be stopped. And that's one thing I speak every single day of my life. I declare, I said, God, those that bless us are blessed. Those that curse us are cursed. I said, God, I thank you that everyone that speaks blessing over us, I agree with. Thank you, our family is blessed. My wife, my son, our business, our ministry, everything we do is prosperous. And Lord, I come against every word that's been spoken contrary to us, against your will, even by us at times. Because there are moments, come on. And I just take authority over those words right now and say they're null and void. We've watched it over and over again. You don't mess with God's anointing. It bothers me when I see some of the people coming against some of God's anointing because they may have made a stupid statement. Who cares? You know, I mean, it really bothers me because when these people become a judge, they get under judgment themselves. Hey, you know, God told me, hey, if they're not against me, they're on your team. And if they come against you, you don't defend yourself. I'll defend you. Just put them in my hands and I'll either change their hearts or I'll remove every obstacle out of the way. This is choices we make. I've chosen. I will not get bitter in life. I'll get better. I just chose. I'm going to rejoice. Good times, bad times, I'm going to rejoice. I've made a choice. I'm not going to worry. Period. Even when, you know, there are moments, I every day I have opportunities. Cast some cares over. But how many of you understand what I'm saying today? How many of you are ready to take some charge of your future? How many of you say, God, we're going to strengthen ourselves in the right stuff. We're going to strengthen ourselves. I want every head bowed, no one looking around, because this week we're going to get strong. We're going to get so strong. We're going to get so happy. Get so happy that people who hate you, you make them miserable. You know, I love it. I just love it. When people look at you, you know, God wants to actually make the world jealous. But the problem is his bride's not in love with him enough to make anyone jealous. You know, they're complaining, I want out of here. The Lord said, you know, I'm supposed to show you off before I take you out. Right now, there's not much to show off. But I'm going to remove every spot. I'm going to remove every wrinkle. I'm actually going to come back for a church that's glorious. Glorious. Full of the glory. Full of the manifest. Now, I'm going to come back for a bride that loves my appearing, not just their disappearing. Who can't wait to be with me for eternity because they've been walking with me daily. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall, you close your eyes, fall asleep, I pray God give you a dream. Need to ask a question today. It's the most important. Is there anyone here, maybe you're not right with God, maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you walked away and need to make a comeback today. Is there anyone like that? If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. Everybody know you're okay? How many of you would say, you're talking to me about adjustments. Some of you may be attitudes, it may be, you know, and say, God, I need some help. I know I love you. I know I'm saved. I know I'm right, thank God. But I know I can get righter. How many of you today, maybe you need a healing in your body. Are you need an adjustment going on? Maybe it's been in your thinking. Maybe it's deciding you're going to act in faith. Some of it may just be trusting God. You know, some of the hardest struggles you have sometimes is, you know, when God asks you to do, either give something that you don't want to give, or if he asks you to do something, like he did with me at the University of Richmond, that made no sense. But I couldn't get away from it. I knew it was God. Sometimes I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for the mercy of God that provides a big fish to swallow us up so we're not dead. You know, I am grateful for the mercy of God that causes ungodly people to throw us overboard. God said, come out from among them one way or the other. Some of you got that. But how many of you today say, I just want some prayer today. If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. I want to pray for you quickly. Come on up. Come on. We got time for this. We have time for this. We're going to get some things fixed today. Some of you got some things physically fixed. Some of you are going to get some things mentally fixed. God says, hey, I'm the fixer. I'm the fixer. You know, what I love about God is I'm grateful for doctors, but you know, when doctors' reports and God's reports change, I'm going with Dr. Jesus' reports. Because his report never changes. His report says we're healed. His report says we're free. Come on, this is a new season. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the miraculous. I am so grateful. You know, every time I go home now it's when I go to St. Louis and visit my son. You know, he's president of his own company. He's just, things are just exploding on for him, and I remember though. I'll never forget. I'll never forget fighting for his life. I'll never forget hearing words that I didn't want to hear and deciding I was going to go with God. I'll never forget that. It's not a battle I would have chosen, but I'm grateful for we fought it. And I'm grateful that Jesus won the battle before I ever had to fight it. I'm grateful that it was a done deal in heaven. He just was looking for someone to agree on earth. And I was grateful for all the teaching I sat under that prepared me for that moment. I thought about that. All the people that sowed words of faith into me so that my son could be alive today and well today. Right now, I'm sowing some seeds into you, and I'm hoping that some of those seeds will produce those type of results. That all of a sudden, you can say, hey, you know, I played the part of a miracle. Now lift your hands up to heaven. Start thanking God.